Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I bless and praise and lift up your holy name on today. Lord God, thank you and praise you, Lord God, for all of your blessings. Thank you, Lord God, for all of the ways made. Thank you, Lord God, for all of the doors that you have opened. Thank you, Lord God, for keeping us clothed in our right mind and granting us, Lord God, to have the use and activity of our limbs. Lord God, we magnify your holy name on today, for you alone is worthy of all the praise, of all the glory, and all of the honor. Lord God, I magnify you, Lord God, and lift you up, Lord God. We praise no other, for there is no other God beside you. You are God alone. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, have your way on today. Lord God, move in this fellowship. Lord God, speak to our hearts and minds. I pray that you would lift up somebody's bowed down head and mend someone's broken hearted. Lord God, we are going through some changes in this world. But Lord God, we know, Father, that power belongs to God. And I pray, Lord God, that you give us the strength, Lord God, to continue to make it. Oh, Lord God, and stand, Lord God, on the promises of our God. Lord, I pray that you would, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, just have your way. And Lord God, I pray, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God, as the word go forth, let all things be done decently and in order. And I pray, Lord God, that you would be praised, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified and lifted up. And Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, glory to God. Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord God, on today. And truly, it's a wonderful and a blessed day. Glory to God. We are here by the mercies of the Lord. And we have something to give God the praise for each and every day, that he allow us to open up our eyes. Amen. There's a thank you that's in order. Hallelujah. We bless his holy name on today. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. The scripture reading will be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And we are going to look at the parable of the sower that Jesus declared and also explained in verses 3 through 23. And there are 7 parables noted in this chapter, called by our Lord as the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Collectively, they describe the method of planting the gospel kingdom in the world and of its growth and success. The time of seed sowing began with our Lord's personal ministry, and it will end with the harvest, which is the end of the world. So the message on today is, let the word take root. Let the word take root. In this present age, the seed, or the word of God, is still being sown. And in understanding the parable of the sower, it shows that there are 4 ways in which it is received. Some are receptive of the word, but fall short in the end because of hindrances or because of their own foolishness. On the other hand, there are those who, after hearing the word, are willing to lay aside every sin and every weight so that nothing will hinder them from growing in grace or from having a fruitful life in God. Before getting into the lesson, it should be explained that a mystery in Scripture is a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, yet a supernatural element still remains despite the revelation. For instance, God Himself is a mystery. There are many things that we do not know about God. No man can say that they know the mind of God or have ever been His counselor. No one can explain His existence or how He came to be, nor have we seen His face at any time. But despite all that we do not know, we have full knowledge of His existence because He has revealed Himself to us through His Son. And because the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us, therefore we can unequivocally testify that God is. So these kingdom parables were spoken during a time when all of the secrets of the ages had not been revealed, especially regarding the church. In review of the Old Testament prophets, we find that they were given prophecies and saw visions of the rejection and crucifixion of the king. They also saw his glory as the root and offspring of David, but the period of time between his sufferings and his glory was not revealed to them. They had no insight concerning what would be known as the church or the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, we learn that the church was a mystery hidden from the sons of men in past ages. It was no mystery that the Gentiles were to be saved, but the mystery hidden God was His divine purpose to form a church or body of Christ that would be comprised of both Jews and Gentiles, in which all earthly distinction disappears. The revelation of this mystery was foretold but not explained by Christ. It was committed to the Apostle Paul, and as he stated in Ephesians chapter 3 and 8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." In Paul's writing alone, we find the doctrine, position, walk, and destiny of the church. So the Lord gave to Paul the revelation of a mystery that was hidden before the foundations of the world. In reading Matthew chapter 13, we ascertain that within the kingdom of God, or Christendom, there are people from all walks of life mingle with both good and bad. In this gospel age, there is a commingling of true believers and those who are insincere in their profession. There are many people who will boldly say, "I am a believer. I am just as saved as you are," or "I have just as much God that you have." Yet there is no weight, conviction, or truth to what they profess, and how could it be if they are not committed to God or ever submitted to His will? If they were of God, they would fully understand that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one or despise the other. You cannot serve God in the world. If they were of God, they would denounce sin and would not be complicit with evil. If they were of God, they would be doers of the word and not hearers only. The Apostle James wrote, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So to those who say that they are a child of God, when the Lord looks upon you, he expects to see a reflection of his son in you. And likewise, you are to remember whose child you are and not forget who it is that you are to resemble and what manner of person you are to be as a child of God. And so let's just keep it real. Everybody that named the name of Christ is not really who they say they are. In churches today, there is a combination, as I said, of both good and bad. And the gospel age will continue in this matter until the day of judgment. At that time, the Lord will send his angels to separate the wheat from the tares. The tares will then be gathered out so that no sinners will be among the saints, and there will be no blurred lines between the righteous and the wicked. Matthew chapter 13, verses 40 through 43 reads, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." At that, I want to say, after reading these verses of scripture in your hearing and knowing what the end shall be, now is not the time to be indecisive or to put your soul salvation in jeopardy. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." If we are not right in the sight of God when we stand before him in judgment, we cannot expect to get free passes, especially when he gave each and every one of us ample time to get it together. So whoever you are, stop pretending, stop living a lie, stop playing the devil's advocate, let the word of God take root and be the holy vessel that God has called you to be. Amen. Since the day that the preaching of the gospel began, we find that Jesus had to deal with two kinds of people. Those who heard the gospel, but it never reached their hearts, and those who embraced the gospel and accepted the call to discipleship. The objective of preaching the word of God hasn't changed. It is the Lord's desire that all who hears the word will repent of their sins and be saved, because after all, Jesus came to save all and to lose none. But in the parable of the sower, he explains that not all who hear the word will receive it or value what they hear to the point of turning to God. Beginning in Matthew chapter 13 and 3, Jesus said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. He that received seed by the wayside," as explained by Jesus in verse 19, "are they that hear the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth it away, that which was sown." In a parallel reference found in Luke chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, it reads, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So these are the careless hearers. Though they hear the word of God, they take no heed to it. In essence, it goes in one ear and out of the other. And this gives credence to the fact that people don't always retain what they hear. But there are people who selectively discard what they do not want to retain. Many of us can attest to the fact that there are churchgoers that have heard sermon after sermon, but have yet to take what they have heard and apply it to their everyday lives. When they fall by the wayside, it is nobody's fault except their own, because they quickly discard what they hear and spend little to no time seeking God for understanding. Hearers such as this are easy prey for the enemy, and Satan takes full advantage of the willingly ignorant and complacent folk. If you do not study the word, how will you know how to counteract Satan's advances? Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy." When you are careless and do not value the word of God that reaches your ear gate, the enemy will come and steal it away. And before it takes root and you're able to understand it, amen, you are left in the dark. And consequently, this is exactly where the enemy wants you to be. He wants to keep you in darkness. And as long as you abide in darkness, how can you be saved? The Lord called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if you let the word take root, then you'll be able to comprehend that Jesus is the light of the world. If you let the word take root, then you'll be able to put off all that pertains to the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The things that you used to do, you will not want to do them anymore. The places that you used to go, you will not want to go there anymore. When the word takes root, you will put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Continuing on in Matthew chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, Jesus said, some fell among stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. He that receiveth seed in stony places, as explained by Jesus in verses 20 and 21, are they that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. The parallel reference in Luke chapter 8:13 reads, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So these type of hearers represent the shallow convert. Although they are quick to hear the word and receive it, with joy at first, they don't last. So these are the kind that endure for a while, but do not persevere unto the end. Stones are a type of obstruction, and whatever obstructs will block or hinder anything from passing through. In this instance, the seeds that were sown in stony places prematurely sprung up, but had no root. When you are not rooted and grounded in the word, it means that you are not settled, have no fixed principles, not firm in resolution, not firm in your faith or profession, and your feet are not firmly planted on the one sure foundation. Hebrews chapter 2:1 reads, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." There are seasons that the saints of God must endure the testing and trying of their faith. And those who have no root are not strong enough to persevere through their trials. Why? Because their relationship with God is shallow and without depth. So when testing time comes, they are quick to abandon ship instead of standing on the promises of God. People of God, we were not called into Christ's kingdom to fail, but in times of trouble, we must persist. So many saints today have abandoned the Christian way because they cannot handle the trials. As long as circumstances are favorable, there is joy. But when under pressure, they soon fall away. And some may feel that they were better off because before they got saved, they didn't go through as much. But the script reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus never promised believers a bed of ease. And I say to people that turn away from God because they feel they were better off, it is better to go through trials and tribulations with the Lord on your side than to go through without him. Continuing on in our lesson text, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13:7, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." The explanation is found in verse 22. "He that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Luke chapter 8:14 says it on this wise, "And they which fall among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." These are the backsliders whose relationship with God suffered because they were so caught up in the cares of life and chasing after their own ambition. They became unfruitful in the kingdom because their focus shifted away from God and they became more engrossed or distracted by the things that are in the world. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." When it comes to serving God, some people just want to be part-time lovers or like to straddle the fence. When you are caught up in the cares of life, you will become less passionate about the things of God. But if God be your God, then let go of the world and serve him. Lastly, in the parable of the sower, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 and 8, "But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold." Luke chapter 8, 15 reads on this wise, "But that on good ground are they which is honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." These are the responsive converts. And when you are a responsive hearer, you will preserve it, cling to it, and hold it dear to your heart. Why? Because you see the value of it and fully understand the danger in discarding the word of God that leads to everlasting life. A responsive hearer will not open the door and allow Satan to steal away, but will safeguard it in their heart. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." But that was David's declaration. What about you? In conclusion, there is no man, no woman, or no child who is at the age of accountability that should be walking around in such a time as this, having no understanding. The word of God is being preached all over the world, whether in person, online, televised, or via satellite. The gospel of the kingdom has not changed. So the difference is not in the seed, but in the soil. If you make the soil good, then the word can take root and you will be able to endure unto the end. When you are rooted and grounded in the word, Psalms 1 and 8 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. To all those who are listening, it is time to get closer to the eternal. Jesus is soon to come. And as mentioned in today's lesson, when the Lord sends the reaper to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, it will not be well for those who are categorically in that state. If it is your desire to make it or endure until the end, if you want to prosper and live a fruitful life in God, then make the soil good and let the word of God take root. Amen. Amen. And amen.